You are listening to Radio Autonomía on 104.1 FM in Oakland and on the web at berkeleyliberationradio.net. We're here every first Sunday of the month from 4 to 6 p.m. You can hit us up at radioautonomia@gmail.com or visit our website, radioautonomia.wordpress.com. We're going to continue today's show with another interview, and in the studio, we have Jess from Critical Resistance. We've had Critical Resistance on before during the prison solidarity strike and when we had Critical Resistance, the 10th year reunion. And just as a reminder, Critical Resistance is a national grassroots organization working to end society's reliance on imprisonment, policing, and surveillance as a response to social, economic, and political problems. They have three chapters in Oakland, L.A., and New Orleans, and their current efforts are around fighting prison and jail expansion as part of California United for a Responsible Budget across the state of California and pushing forward a prison moratorium in California. They're also been fighting gang injunctions through Stop the Injunctions Coalition. To get more information about those efforts, you could go to stoptheinjunction.wordpress.com or you could just search for Stop the Injunctions on Facebook. They've been supporting other anti-policing efforts, providing media support for the California hunger strike, publishing The Abolitionist, which gets sent out to folks in prison, and developing curriculum and political education resources on the prison industrial complex, which we'll be calling the PIC throughout the interview, and much more. So Critical Resistance recently here in Oakland played an integral role in bringing out folks to the city council meetings and had many of their members speaking out against this new effort by city council to bring in Bill Bratton as part of OPD. Hundreds of Oakland residents came out. This was on January 15th and 22nd to voice their opinions about the hiring of William Bratton, which would cost the city $250,000. To have him as a consultant, and he would be working to help de-escalate the crime rate. I'm saying that in quotes. So a little bit about Bratton's platform.
So William Bratton is known as a super cop due to his history of militarizing police and implementing a zero-tolerance policing policy in and around poor communities and communities in color, in Boston, New York, and Los Angeles. Zero-tolerance policing aims at restoring public order by aggressively enforcing, through sweeps, ticketing, and arrest, the minor quality of life infractions such as public drunkenness, littering, or begging. Under his platform, no crime, no matter how insignificant, would go unnoticed or unpunished. And so in an article in the San Francisco Bayview's newspaper, Critical Resistance stated that Bratton can also be credited with popularizing stop and frisk tactics, which includes surveilling persons suspected of being involved in higher level offenses such as drug dealing, gang involvement, and pretty much racial profiling. And with that...
Okay. So people showed up to the city council meetings, and after about 8 hours on January 22nd of hearing people speak out, mostly against the hiring, there were some people for the hiring. The city council voted 7-1 to approve an amended contract with the strategic policy partnerships, which includes the consulting services of William Bratton for $250,000 from the general fund. Due to the opposition and interventions of the community of Oakland on the 15th and 22nd, Mayor Gene Kwan and Chief of Police Howard Jordan held a press conference on January 23rd and stated that they are restructuring the contract to have Bratton be marginalized and have less community contract. Of course, we're not sure what that looks like. But in the studio today, Jess will shine a little bit more light on the strategies and efforts. Jess is from CR. She's been actively involved in these actions and other actions against policing tactics and dismantling the PIC. Our first question, Jess, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
No problem. Can you kind of contextualize the interview and explain the relationship between cops on the street and then the prison industrial complex? Because they seem pretty separate, but what's the relationship between those two?
Sure. So critical resistance is basic understanding of the prison industrial complex is that it's made up of a set of relationships between policing, courts, surveillance, prisons, the law, and all of these parts contribute to the economic and social structures that uphold the prison industrial complex. And policing is a key element of controlling communities, the ones that end up getting targeted, locked up in the prison system, and whose lives are disrupted in various ways. What policing does is it literally serves to protect and control communities who are impacted by the racist and economic inequalities of our society. And the communities that are policed are ones that are identified as disruptive to the status quo, who are put in positions of inferiority or identified as social problems. We connect who ends up getting locked up in prisons as the folks who have been directly targeted by cops on the street. That's the first contact for somebody who winds up in prison, is that they're going to be targeted by police on the street. So Bratton's quality of life policing, also called zero tolerance or suppression style policing, has everything to do with targeting people of color, with poor people, with homeless people, people that property owners and politicians have identified as in the way. So if we're looking at gentrification, for example, in a city, they're in the way because they're homeless, because they're on the street, because they have no other place to go, or because they don't want to leave because that is their home, or because they're political activists. So the prison industrial complex is a set of relationships, but it's not an abstract constellation. It's made up of very concrete things, and that's the prisons, the courts, the police, surveillance, and that's also how we seek then to dismantle the prison industrial complex, is by targeting these concrete things.
How has the sort of all this work you've done against Bratton helped CR's efforts against police? How is that related to your work? So, why so much energy into this Bratton case, and how's that helping your strategy of getting sort of cops off the street?
For sure. So we think it's hugely significant that Critical Resistance was one organization out of dozens of organizations, out of hundreds of people that mobilized like rapid fire in the first 2 weeks of January against the contract of Bratton. Bratton is notorious for suppression-style policing of terrorizing communities of color in New York and Los Angeles and worldwide. And so doing these sorts of mobilizations is necessary, and it provides a bunch of opportunities. We never just go to City Hall or any mobilization just to go talk to the politicians. When we go, we do a lot of media. We have press conferences. We do a lot of outreach. We called all of our ally organizations. We sent out email blasts. We used Facebook. We made a lot of flyers. We spoke to the press and had articles come out. And so we use then these opportunities at City Hall to talk about policing with as wide a resonance as possible, to talk about the violence of policing, not just about Bratton as an individual, but what he is individually connected to and what his policies do. And so what we're also working to do is then to be contributing towards a shifting of common sense around the real role of policing, the real violence of it, and also what it disallows in our communities. When the city of Oakland is relying on police in order to create, quote, safety, because this started off as a public safety committee measure and then went to the full city council, it is literally making it impossible for the the city to invest in real solutions. And so when we talk about what a healthy city would look like and what we do want, what really makes us safer, which is jobs, which is inclusion in the making of policies, which are harm reduction tactics, we want to always have that be juxtaposed to what the violence of policing looks like and does not allow. So we always hope that, you know, the city council and politicians will hear us and will, like, fall on the right side of history, but we know time and again that they're not always doing that. And so what opportunities it gives us is to be building a shared common sense, to be talking together about policing, to be networking in the room, to be shifting also together what our understanding is of what policing looks like in Oakland. So we share talking points when we go out to these mobilizations. We share stories. We network with each other. We think about solutions. We talk about the problems. And we were able to build over 2 weeks a real public front that even the media recognized as the public is speaking out against Bratton, rather than just there are a few people who are against this contract with Bratton, but we're able to talk about all of policing. So when we do this work, we're working with allies to talk about how to build an anti-policing movement here in Oakland.
So on the January 15th and the 22nd, there was a really good showing of different organizations and different communities. Could you talk a little bit more about how specifically Bratton and the kind of unified no, like what communities were there and who did you build networks with and who is that kind of public front that you all are working with right now?
There were a lot of people who've been rolling out to city council and in the streets time and time again. You had the coalitions that have formed around families whose family members have been shot by the police. So there's Justice for Alan Bluford. There were organizers from Onyx. There were organizers from Chicana Moratorium Coalition. There were lots of teachers and people who do after school program and cultural work. There are people who have identified or mobilized at various times with Occupy. There were former city council members, even people who are doing Indigenous and Native rights work. There's the Atsalan Beautification Movement. There are folks who work with Eastside Arts Alliance. Lots of people who we've been in the room with time and time again. And then was there another question with that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I guess the like you stated earlier, like the strategy isn't going to the city council meeting. You know that they're usually not listening to what people are saying. Can you talk about some of the strategies outside of the protest against Bratton that CR has been involved with and maybe other coalition work that's happened outside of the city council meetings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Critical Resistance is part of Stop the Injunctions Coalition, and we've been mobilizing together for the last 2 or 3 years against the implementation of gang injunctions in Oakland, and we've had lots of long nights at City Council, networking together, getting to know each other better, and then also building relationships outside of those chambers. So we've done loads of popular education, lots of workshops. We had a week of action a year or two ago where there were, I think, over like 40 or 50 workshops done in schools. We've been working at the Fat Beats Farmers Market talking about the relationship between land struggles and gentrification and the violence of policing. Been doing block parties where the neighborhood, you know, takes care of each other in terms of security, feeds each other, paints murals. We've been building a garden out in East Oakland. And so with all of that work, we're making the gang injunctions, for example, and the violence of policing, or the latest tools that Oakland has been using to perpetuate policing in our city, and talking about that, and talking about what that looks like, making sure that people know what's going on with the police and how they're justifying their actions, so that then we can also know how to mobilize together through all this popular education, through demonstrations, to City Hall, rallies outside, film screenings, I'm remembering more and more things, thinking back over the years. Through those things, we've made it so that gang injunctions, for example, are an issue that so many people in the city know about. Whereas, like this Bratton contract, city council or the city attorney or OPD would prefer that people don't know that these things are going on or that they're being used. So by making these issues that absolutely are impacting communities, family members, on the daily basis, through the violence of policing, we are building our own logic about how we fight back. And like one of the steps about fighting back is knowing what's going on and mobilizing so that it's not possible for the city to continue pushing through really irresponsible and repressive measures.
So on the, I imagine it was the 22nd, but really early hours of the 23rd, there was a 7-1 vote from the city council to bring Bratton on. And you just talked a little bit about mobilizations to kind of bring a larger community voice of resistance, but then also like kind of proactive mobilizations, not just responding, but then also creating new spaces of resistance and new spaces of learning. So given the decision of the city council, what efforts does critical resistance, and you also mentioned the stop the injunctions, what's the next steps in the sense of holding the city accountable, or kind of what's in line for CR in the next couple of weeks, months, as Bratton's contract unfolds?
So we see the use of Bratton-style policing and the investment in Oakland, and even referring to paying him any money, to giving him any space in our city policy, as attacking communities in ways that communities have said do not use these policies, don't use stop and frisk, don't use gang injunctions, don't use youth curfews, loitering laws, etc. So us articulating that is what Bratton-style policing looks like, that's what he's notorious for, has put the city on the defensive. And for example, like Mayor Kwan and Howard Jordan came out and said, we won't be doing stop and frisk, and this won't mean any more gang injunctions. Absolutely no zero tolerance policing. No, that's not what Bratton's about. So we have them on the record saying that, which is way more than ever would have happened had no one mobilized. We now have the city having said yet again no more gang injunctions, and that they won't be using other Bratton-style policies. So we're going to be monitoring them. We're going to be keeping a really close eye on the next developments of policing in Oakland. And then once and for all, making them put their money where the mouth is and ending the use of gang injunctions. Making sure stop and frisk does not become the next Oakland city policy. So as we're doing that, we're going to be keeping that watchful eye, because that's one of the roles that critical resistance plays, is being able to pay really, really close attention, because we're not doing direct service work per se with communities. That a lot of our allies are working with youth after school, or doing the mural painting, or are doing harm reduction. And while those are projects that we're a part of and that a lot of our members are practiced in or also doing for their paid work or for their other volunteered work, critical resistance is going to be doing the watching work and the building work for making space for other solutions. And so supporting our allies as they are, keeping Oakland like a healthy, supportive, and thriving place, because that's what we want to see, and that's what we're making space for as we continue the resistance and work alongside folks.
Okay, if folks are interested in CR, what are some places they can get more information?
You can visit our website, which is www.criticalresistance.org, and We often partner with other organizations in the city to do workshops at various times, or there might be an action or a mobilization. The information on our website is always updated with that. So there are no events planned for the next month that I can recall, but we're going to be having a release event for The Abolitionist, which is the newspaper that Jessica spoke about earlier. And so that will be the next public event, and people should be sure to come through to that. But yeah, check out the website and then email us, and we'd love to talk more.
Great. Thank you, Jess, for being on the show. We're going to go to a musical break and be back with a Chowchilla segment, which Chris